This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
On the hotline right now is our friend Greg Brown, who's in St. Louis getting ready to call Pirates and Cardinals and another Paul Skeen start. Greg, did you think the Pirates were going to be good this year?
I thought they'd be better than this, for sure, Andrew. Didn't know how good. I thought if things fell into place, you know, they could maybe battle for a division title. So, yeah, I'd have to say I thought they'd be good, yes.
Are you then very just taken aback by their lack of talent as far as like the hitting depth goes, like not just at the major league level, it seems like up and down the organization, 6 years into this, they don't have enough good hitters, Greg?
Well, I didn't think they were going to win by outscoring people this year. I thought they'd win much like last year. You know, there is not, I don't think, much difference in terms of rosters or roster depth this year opposed to last year. And last year, they were right in it in the middle of July. And then it just kind of fell apart. That's the other thing, too. I thought they would have learned the experience and so on. I thought that they had improved their bullpen now. There's no doubt that two huge losses that nobody under the radar, but losing Justin Lawrence and Tim Mayza, it's gigantic. Lawrence probably more than anybody else. Changes the whole complexion of this bullpen, and I don't think it's a coincidence that the bullpen has not been the same since he went down. But that's how they won last year, was basically by out-pitching people, and I thought that they could do the same thing and with a couple of tweaks, especially with the bullpen, because I think the bullpen was bad last year. I didn't think that they were going to be an offensive juggernaut, so that part doesn't surprise me.
But that's just such a slim margin for error. Then, I mean, how many good major league hitters do they have in their lineup tonight? 3 out of 9? I mean, you can't win every game 2-1.
No, but they won a lot of games last year, again, by pitching. Occasionally, you'll out-hit guys. They have guys that I think should be better. And that old cliche, not an excuse, but it is a fact that I think Nick Gonzalez is another big loss. I'm not saying that he was a guy that's going to hit 25 homers and drive in 100 runs, but he was a hitter. Horowitz is a hitter. I've talked to people in the Blue Jays organization that had no reason to lie to me, people that I trust, a couple of them in the organization over the winter, because I wanted to know about Spencer Horowitz. And in both cases, and I sought them out separately, and in both instances, each individual said, this guy can just plain hit. I don't know how much power he's going to have, but he can hit. And so that's huge, him not being in the lineup. And you're right, to your point, Andrew, there is not much room for a margin for error. Because when you lose a couple of your hitters, like those two guys would be in the lineup every day, that's huge to a team like the Pirates. And then you have guys, I think, that are pressing to try and make up for the lack of offense in that lineup, and it snowballs, and it makes things worse.
You mean pressing, like, in terms of trying to do too much in at-bats, or just overall?
Yeah, I think so. Okay. Yeah, and I think they get caught up in that. The other thing, too, is I really had great hope for Sawinski, what he was doing in spring training. I thought he had figured it out. And a lot of things that I thought would fall into place have not to this point.
Because I didn't see pressing on Sunday. I thought I saw a team that didn't want to play baseball. I mean, just in terms of the outs they gave away, in terms of the extra outs they gave teams, that was one of the most desultory, kind of lousy, go-through-the-motions games I've seen in quite a while, Greg.
Well, I don't know. I'd have to break down every play with you, because I didn't see it as guys that didn't want to play baseball. I saw it as guys that made dumb mistakes because they were trying to do too much. I mean, I'll point out the Key Brian Hayes thing. He's, you know, runners at first and second, one out, and all of a sudden he gets picked off in the second inning. You're down four runs, and the gut reaction is, what a stupid play that is. Well, I think that's Hayes trying to spark something, trying to do something, and sometimes that gets ahead of your head. And
how about not covering third base?
On which one was that?
When somebody stole third and he didn't even get to the bag, and that's why there was no throw from the catcher to third base?
Yeah, I don't recall that. That's not good. I don't recall that happening, but I'll take your word for it. How about the play that Gorski
stopped and started, yeah, and that's what got him in trouble?
Yeah, and that's not lack of – that's just – that truly is, to me, a moment in time where I think when you're in the minor leagues, you can hesitate. I mean, obviously, if he goes right away on contact, he scores without a play. Mm-hmm. But because he hesitated, and in the minor leagues – that's still going to be a 5-3 putout, because there's nobody in the minor leagues that plays third base to the level of Manny Machado. And Gorski hesitates, and he starts breaking for the plate, and Machado sees a chance. And I think 90% of the third basemen still don't make that play. Machado did and saves his pitcher an earned run. I don't know who I was on the air with pointed out, but imagine the pitcher for the Padres, how great he feels that his third baseman knows he can get an out, doesn't concede, and throws to the plate and saves him an earned run. It's just there are two plays that I recall. You mentioned somebody not covering third. Hayes not covering third. I don't remember that. But if he did, that's a bad play. I don't think it's, generally speaking, this rut that they're in. I don't think generally it's because they don't want to play. I really don't. I don't see, you know, lackadaisical play overall the team. I just don't.
So when you see the most outs in baseball at third base, you think it's the exact opposite. You think this team is trying too hard to win.
Well, I don't know. I don't. I'm just saying what I see is a team that does not have the firepower, the offense, even when completely healthy, just enough. And you talked about, you know, the margin for error is so slim. And now when they lose guys, when guys aren't necessarily performing like they could, and some say should, Tommy Pham comes to mind. He's been a tremendous disappointment what he has done offensively. And so when those guys don't perform or we're not in the lineup, then other guys, I think, press to do more than they should, because they're looking for ways to get out of this rut.
I mean, I'm no Pham fan, to be honest with you, but I also don't think Tommy Pham at 37 years old should be an everyday left fielder. When you're 6 years into it, you should have the organizational depth of talent from drafting where you have a guy who's playing out there every day, and Tommy Pham is your fourth or fifth outfielder. I think that's the role he's supposed to play at this point in his career. Not a guy that's out there 5 out of 7 days a week. It's the Jack Sawinski failure, or, you know, apparently they don't think Matt Gorski. I know he's in the lineup today, but they don't think Matt Gorski's that good. If it took him forever at 27 to get to the major leagues, then he gets here, hits a home run the first game, and then, you know, picks splinters out of his butt the next 3 or 4 days.
Philosophically, I would agree with that. That for me, when Gorski goes, when you have a player that's hot in the minor leagues and inexperienced in the big leagues, and he comes up and he gets that home run. From my opinion, and this is what makes this game so great, it is a matter of opinion. There's nothing factual that we can back this up with, because we don't know if Gorski plays the next 4 days what's going to happen. But for me, I would like to have seen Gorski run him out there for a while he's hot. That's one thing I don't think the Pirates do often enough. I would like to have seen Peguero come up, because then what happens, Andrew, and I've seen this, and we talked about this last night, Gorski is now asked to do something he's never had to do before. In
which
the
is
ninth
be a bench
inning
player.
Last night,
pinch hit. Yep.
Come in and pinch hit against Ryan Helsley.
I agree with you.
I mean, that's
I'm with you
unbelievable.
On that. I
and,
agree.
And he had to do it 2 nights ago. He did it, and he succeeded against one of the better lefties in all of baseball in Morahone. And he ends up tripling into the game. And then he faces Jason Adam, one of the better right-handers in the game, and he singles off him in only two at-bats because he pinch-hit in the seventh inning. Again, for me, my opinion as a fan, I would like to have seen him out there the next day and run him out there. And I would agree with you, too, on Tommy Pham. I kind of thought he was going to be a complimentary piece, a good clubhouse presence. Talked about that a lot during the winter. I praised him for that. Because I thought they needed that, someone who would make the players accountable. I think he could still do that, even if he weren't playing every day. I even thought that maybe it would be kind of a platoon situation with him and Jack Sawinski. That's kind of, I thought, the way they were leaning in spring training, and that did not turn out to be the case. They ran Pham out there every single day. So, you know, it's a philosophical question. It's something we talked about this last week. I talk about it all the time. People that think that this team doesn't want to win, that, you know, that's absurd. You know, these guys don't want to. I'm not talking to you specifically, and I'm not talking about just the players. If you don't think Derek Shelton and Ben Cherington want to win when their jobs are on the line, you're crazy.
But I don't really
they
care.
They want to win more than any of us.
For the record, I don't really care about that, though.
Well, I don't care if you care or not about it. I'm just saying,
sure.
This idea out there that Shelton and Cherington don't want to win. I mean, they want to win as much as, if not more than any of us,
but I don't
fans
want,
included.
But I
and so
to
they're
be fair,
trying desperately to figure out a way to win.
I think that's the problem.
That's all I'm saying.
Sure, Greg, but I think to be fair, just the people we hear from on the station, I don't think anyone disputes the fact that Ben Cherington or Derek Shelton want to win. I just think people question whether or not they're good at their jobs.
I'm not talking about anybody on the station. I'm saying that I have talked to enough people over the winter and still do, and people say, yeah, these guys don't care about winning, and they kind of throw everybody into that big pot, and I just don't agree with that. Now, you can debate again, whether, okay, they don't, well, maybe that's just not working.
Yeah.
That's another question. But these guys want to win.
Well, I think clearly it's not. I mean, when you're 5-plus years into this and you're on pace to win 56 games, it's not working.
Well, so far it's not. I would certainly agree with that. It is not working at the moment. That's not to say it can't. I still think there is enough. Well, I mean, we've heard, you know, I mean, the owner came out and said it. There's enough out. And when the owner says it, then I believe it. You know, I'm not a Bob Nutting apologist, though I get crushed for people that say, you know, I am a Bob Nutting fan because I think he's a good man and I do think he cares. And I get crushed for that. And so when Bob Nutting comes out and says that there's enough out there, or in so many words, to win, then I'm gonna trust them.
Do you think Bubba Chandler pitches in Pittsburgh this weekend?
Boy, my guess, the total guess is no. And the reason I say that is look at the innings he's pitched in the minor leagues, Andrew.
Mm-hmm.
I've got it here, okay? 2 2/3 innings, 52 pitches. 4 innings, 61 pitches. 4 innings, 52 pitches. 4 2/3 innings, 69 pitches. 5 innings, 70 pitches. 5 innings, 71 pitches. That doesn't sound like a man who's being built up to come up anytime soon to me.
I didn't know those numbers about Bubba Chandler, so thank you. I appreciate that, Greg. And enjoy the game tonight. Hopefully when we talk again, the Pirates have a winning streak and not a losing streak going.
The winning streak starts tonight, Andrew.
With Paul Skenes, who got a standing ovation in St. Louis from baseball's best fans, in air quotes. Thank you, Greg. Talk to you again soon.
Thanks, Andrew.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. you'll see Progressive's direct rate. Then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.